Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Starting the week with great news. And for Nuggets fans, aside from winning a title, perhaps, it's got to be getting another MVP award for Nikola Jokic back-to-back. The Nuggets go from never having an MVP to 2 years in a row. The Joker picking it up again. Joining me now to talk about it, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. He's on our First Advantage Hotline. Chris, my man. We kind of knew it was coming, right? But still pretty cool just to see it take over the news this morning or this afternoon now.
Yeah, it really was. Forgive me here for a second while I get myself situated.
I thought you had some more breaking news for me, Chris. That's what that was. I thought there was something big coming.
No, I can't get my headphones to work the right way here. But yes. It's a great thing, and look, we talked about this a little bit about the time the Straw Poll came out, and it had, you know, basically it was showing that overwhelmingly that Nikola Jokic was going to win the MVP, and for you know, I think it was at that point that it was settled in my mind, just because I had done those types of things before as a journalist at the Denver Post, and they are always right, and so. This, and while it's not obviously official by the NBA, obviously when Woj isn't tweeting anything or Shams, you know, that's not pretty solid. And so it's really good news and really obviously well deserved for Nikola Jokic, who just had a monster season and you know, it really led a basketball team that had just sustained such significant personnel losses. To the playoffs, and you know, you just don't do that if you're not doing significant stuff on a basketball court, and Nikola Jokic did all season long.
Yeah, and you know, you're getting, I'm kind of going into this Colorado GOAT conversation that I started talking about it like 2 years ago. I don't know the Joker's there. I mean, John Elway has championships and all that stuff, but I just think that, you know, people like to throw out, okay, well, Elway, they took these bad teams to Super Bowls years before they started winning them. I feel like, Chris, and you would be better to tell me this, man, if we're always saying this, like, okay, Colorado's a Broncos state, so doesn't that mean that you have a better chance of attracting stud free agents to Denver as a Bronco as opposed to the Nuggets, which, you know, for the most part, we've seen the LAs, the Miamis, the New Yorks, those places really do well in attracting those free agents. Is it safe to say that it's harder to win titles in the NBA in the state of Colorado than it is to win Super Bowls in the state of Colorado?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's, can you still hear me?
I got you crystal clear, my friend.
Okay. This is so weird. Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And, you know, I would say, boy, we've seen the Broncos just be able to recruit Peyton Manning, and then you hear the stories of like Aqib Talib and DeMarcus Ware on the same flight coming to Denver because Peyton Manning was here. And so in football, it's a lot more, you know, over the course of time, it has been a lot more of a situation where the players want to play with other players. And when you see greatness going, and we've seen Tom Brady go to Tampa Bay, then everybody went to Tampa Bay that wasn't already there, and they were able to win a title. And so, you know, the team matters a whole lot more than the city. And whereas in the NBA, we spent the biggest chunk of the history of the league, especially the active free agent history of the league, whereas the cities were more of an attraction
than the players that were might be playing on teams that were not in more desirable cities. And that has always made it harder for smaller market, medium and smaller market teams to be able to compete and win NBA titles. And so, yes, for the Broncos, it was just a matter of, do you have dudes that somebody else wants to come and play with? Because they will all come running. And whereas in the NBA, even if you have a player that might be desirable for other athletes to want to pair with, that was not necessarily a given if you weren't in Chicago, Miami, L.A., New York, those very desirable cities. Now, I will say this. I think that is changing. I think that is changing in the NBA. But there's also this element that has changed in the NBA where players are they're not necessarily worried about the city as much as they are, okay, but now I'm gonna get together with my two or three best friends or these big time players, and then we're all going to make a move to go to team X or team Y, and so we're starting to see that in the NBA. So it is a much harder road, and then obviously with the variable of your team has to survive 3 7-round series to be able to even have a chance to get to the NBA to play for a championship. And while the variable of any given Sunday is a very real one in the NFL, you just got to survive that just, one weekend at a time, to be able to win a title. So yeah, it's tougher. It's tougher for Denver. It has been. And, I think that really, it helps speak to Nikola Jokic's greatness.
I think it does too, Chris. And I guess in a roundabout way, I'm almost saying, is it unfair to say, well, Joker's got to have a championship or two before he can be in the John Elway conversation? And I agree. I think that that's certainly needed. But let's face it, every time the Nuggets have been to the Western Conference Finals, they played the Lakers with the Showtime Lakers, Kobe Bryant, right. LeBron James. I mean, some of the greatest players of all time. I'm just looking at that going, in the NBA, if you are top five, you're still not going to win a title. Typically at the beginning of the season, we always say, okay, who are the best teams in the league? Injuries can take place and all that, and I get it. But normally you are going to get the top two or three teams. Two of those three are going to be in the championship. In the NFL every year, nobody predicted the Bengals and the Rams to be in the Super Bowl last right. year. So I guess I just look at it and say, man, it is difficult to be the best team in the NBA, even with Nikola Jokic. So I guess in a roundabout way, I'm looking at it going, I don't know that it's exactly fair to just compare titles compared to these two sports.
Yeah, I mean, I think, in any, I love these conversations because, I think there's so many factors that go into the list. And the context of Denver's sports is actually one of those factors. And yes, the titles matter. Most certainly do. And what John Elway did for the Denver Broncos when they were kind of just floundering. I mean, they did go to Super Bowl in the late 70s there. By and large, this was not, a powerhouse organization. And then John Elway put the Broncos on the map. And then he started winning Super Bowls. He went back-to-back Super Bowls. And so I think he will forever, to me, this, I guess this is just the kid in me, the guy who's grown up watching all this stuff, he will forever be the top of the totem pole here, in Denver. And then you start to get real debate because you have a lot of Avalanche players like Joe Sakic sure. and Patrick Waugh and those guys. Who won those titles, and so maybe they're up on the list. And then you got nobody else who's won a title in any other sport, And so where does Todd Helton fall in? And Nikola Jokic is going to figure in there, and Alex English is going to figure in there. You're going to have guys like Larry Walker who's going to where do they fit in this, pantheon of Denver sports titans. And because the title list really is just reduced to the Broncos and the Avalanche, I think for the Broncos, boy, beyond John Elway, I mean, we can haggle about, maybe Von Miller, in terms of what he did in the Super Bowl against the Carolina Panthers was obviously just amazing. And then outside of that, you know, Sakic, Waugh, Forsberg, whatever you want to do with the Avalanche, then you get real debate. So I think Nikola Jokic, obviously, he's top 10 clearly right now, just at this moment right now. He might be top 5 at this moment right now. We have no two-time MVPs, do we?
No.
I don't think so. In any other sports. That definitely puts him way up on the list.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, John Elway's there. It's going to take a heck of a lot to move Elway around. It's just a fascinating discussion because even if you look at the Avalanche and their Stanley Cup years, I mean, you have some of the greatest right there. Joe Sakic, Patrick Waugh, Peter Forsberg, they're playing together. John Elway, when they finally did get over that hump and win the Super Bowl, how many Hall of Famers were on that roster? Shannon right. Sharpe, Terrell Davis, Zimmerman, Steve Atwater. Again, you look at it for the Joker, and we'll see. I mean, Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. certainly hopefully have a long career in front of them, but as it stands right now, you're not necessarily writing anybody other than Nikola Jokic in as like a Hall of Fame type basketball player at this stage, and you might get there someday. So I think there's a lot of variables that go into that discussion, and you're right. To beat John Elway is going to take a lot of greatness, certainly, but I suppose if there's someone capable of doing that, maybe it's the Joker. You were talking about it, you were tweeting about it, Chris, saying this back-to-back thing, maybe not in the Colorado GOAT conversation, but his name has got to be coming up now in the overall greats in the NBA.
I do believe that. I really do. And, you know, and the angle that I'm coming at it, the lens that I'm coming at with that on is his impact on the NBA. Now, when we're watching the Miami Heat currently playing in NBA playoffs, when you see Bam Adebayo just kind of running things, they're running offense through him and dribble handoff action, elbow, top of the key, setting that screen, getting downhill, that kind of stuff, that's Jokic stuff. I mean, that's what Jokic has made famous and what Jokic has done in terms of showing other coaches you can run an offense through a center that you can expect that center to demand for that center to be a decision maker, a really good decision maker, a deliverer of the basketball on time and on target. And now this position that quite frankly, prior to Nikola Jokic, was undergoing some real dark days. You know, I mean, yeah. We were, your past Patrick Ewing and Shaq and Hakeem Olajuwon and all those guys. And when it was kind of walk it up basketball, throw it to your center, turn around and run back down the court. the center's value became, well, now you're just a screener roller. That's all you are. And as players like Nikola Jokic have come into the league, now you see the center position start to become the most dynamic it has ever been in the history of its position. I mean, these players can shoot three-pointers. They can pass. They can distribute the basketball, 4, 5, 6, in Jokic's case, 7, 8, 9 assists per game. You run offense through them in a way that's not on the block, so now you can keep spacing. And it is due to these guys and this, a player like Nikola Jokic who is showing you that, yes, you can demand this from a center. Yes, a center you can have a point guard on your team, but your center can still be basically your best playmaker. And I think that that's a lasting impact. And it's not so obvious as, you know, a Steph Curry who comes in and just knocks in a bunch of threes and now everybody's shooting super deep, long three-point shots. It's a little more subtle, but when you look at how offenses are run, in the NBA with some of these big men being the focal points of it, that's where I think his impact is, his lasting legacy and his lasting impact will be on the NBA. And that's why I think now you've got a two-time MVP, clearly great in the statistical categories, but also his impact on how the game is played, coached, and schemed. This is where his legacy, to me, will lie.
And it's such a shame in many ways, Chris, because his two MVP years were 2 years that the Nuggets were facing some big-time turmoil with injuries. I mean, Jamal Murray goes down at the end of that of his first MVP season, obviously severely impacting their playoff situation. And then, of course, Jamal doesn't go this year. Michael Porter Jr. goes down at the beginning of the season. So it's tough. I don't think anybody's necessarily saying that Joker's window's closing, but you feel pressure, don't you? I mean, you only have how many guys win multiple MVPs? You only have so many MVP years. So the pressure has certainly got to be on the Nuggets, Coach Malone, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., as soon as heading into next season.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong there. The Nuggets championship window is open right now. But it does require all of their healthy pieces to be the players to be on the basketball court. And, you know, the beauty in this season was that Nikola Jokic just showed us how great he was, showed us that like an MVP could even continue to get better and win another MVP. But the sobering part of this season was they weren't able to take advantage of that because Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. were not on the court. And quite honestly, PJ Dozier went down in the middle of the season as well and then ended up not being on the roster. And then you had Nikola Jokic at the end of the season talking about how much they missed PJ Dozier. And so there's just so many players that were significant pieces to this, to their success that were not available to them, that it really took a year where the Nuggets should have been a contending basketball team it turned it into a year where they were not a contending basketball team. And you only have so many of those years. And so I think for the Nuggets window to have longevity, I think what we're going to end up seeing here is obviously Jokic's MVP window will be closing. His effectiveness window obviously will just remain open for years to come. But I think what we're going to probably need to see at some point is a Jamal Murray take over as the lead player on this team. While Jokic is still productive, the burden of the game-to-game, I need to carry this basketball team, has now been shifted to a younger player who's got less mileage on his legs, which Jamal Murray will fit the bill, which Michael Porter Jr. and Bones Highland will all fit the bill. And so those players, their rise is going to have to at some point eclipse Nikola Jokic for the Nuggets window to stay open for a real appreciable period of time. Because to your point, I mean, great players are great and all players are great, but time catches up to everybody. And, for Nikola Jokic, he's put a lot of miles on his legs in the last, let's call it 4 years, even going back to the bubble. Three or four seasons going back to the bubble, whether it's NBA, playoffs, international basketball, it all at some point has a negative effect on a player's ability to be effective going forward. And so I'm not saying that Nikola Jokic is super close to that right now, but at some point he will be, and they will need some of these young players to step up and assume those lead roles, both production-wise and leadership-wise on this basketball team.
Yeah, man. It's still, at the end of the day, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of pressure coming up for this team, but it's a great day for Nuggets fans to have Nikola Jokic as their guy, back-to-back MVPs. When are we getting that max contract signed, Chris? That's the next thing to figure out. Let's make sure Joker never, ever, ever leaves.
Yeah, and let's talk about it. I mean, it'll be a super max contract. It'll make him the highest paid player in NBA history. Is what will happen, and that will be signed. He will get that if they get to next season and it hasn't been signed. I will be shocked.
Yeah.
I will be completely shocked. There is no negotiation here. the numbers are the numbers. He has reached all the benchmarks. He has proven his worth on and off the court. To this franchise, it's not just what he has done, in terms of carrying a basketball team to the playoffs. It is what he has done in terms of putting this franchise in the best possible light in the city of Denver. People love him, and for all of those things combined, he will have earned that Supermax contract. And while I'm actually talking here, let me just see if I can find the numbers on that. On that contract, which just give me 2 seconds here.
We got you.
You got me. It'll be Chris Dempsey.
You are Chris Dempsey. I will give you that, man. It's going to be a lot of cheese, right? I mean, either way you slice this thing.
Yeah, it's north of $40 million per year for a 5-year window. So,
wow.
You know, I mean, that's obviously big time money, and you have to be MVP, and I mean, there's a lot of benchmarks to meet to be able to get that, and obviously he will have done those things and deservedly so.
Yeah, no doubt, man. That's a lot of horses that the Joker can buy with that, man. I mean, he can buy like Kentucky Derby winners of horses if he wants. Now he could do anything he wants.
For sure, he could. Yeah, I mean, you know, if he really wanted to, now he's gonna eventually just, you know, no pun intended, but he's gonna ride off into the sunset
at
some point. But you know, if he wanted to be an owner of anything, like, I mean, he would be able to do that without no problems at all.
I think that's the scariest thing about the Joker is not that he would ever leave for a different team or anything like that. It's just that someday he might go, you know what? It's fine. I'm done playing basketball now. That's my biggest fear. I hope not, but I think that's the biggest one. Chris, appreciate you rolling with us as always, man. Big news for the Nuggets. Joker gets the back-to-back MVP, and we'll sort out the rest as we go, as we progress through the summer.
All right, man. Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV. Great guy. I got a lot on this today. I want to talk about it. We're going to have fun talking about this. I had a poll question ready this morning. Method Flow Products poll question of the day is outside of Joker, really. But it was a Russell. I'm watching a lot of NFL Network over the weekend. And a lot of Russell Wilson talk, a lot of Broncos talk. At this point, and you know my feelings on ballots. I don't like first ballot, second ballot. Is he a Hall of Famer or not? At this point, is Russell Wilson a first ballot Hall of Famer? Now, he's a Hall of Famer. The old knee-jerk reaction, if I ask you, is Russell Wilson a Hall of Famer? And if you have to hesitate, then he's not. You don't have to hesitate about Russell, right? So is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? Most are saying no. So what's it going to take for Russell to get up there into the Peyton Manning world, into the John Elway world? Russell's not one of the greatest. Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest. He's going to go down as one of the greatest. Tommy Brady, Tommy Bones, is going to go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest. Russell Wilson is not in that category. How does he get there? Can he get there? Talk about that. NFL rankings, according to NFL Network. Where are the Broncos? You might be surprised. Jerry Schimmel will join me. The Joker is the MVP. Is it NBA Finals or bust for Michael Malone? Short break coming up. Blew through the clock. Way to go, Jades. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Nikola Jokic is the 2-time MVP back-to-back. The Avs are about ready to sweep this damn thing. The Rockies, we'll end it right there. We'll be back in a little bit. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.